Now, how many of you, after studying that passage, have more questions than answers? A lot of questions? How many have more answers than questions now? How many have a better understanding of the spiritual gift of tongues or how that works? Okay, so it's kind of across the board. Well, I want to start off with a story of when I was a hater and an unbeliever. So my church background when I was younger, it was like the Father, Son, and Holy Bible. Kind of like miss, right? So the Holy Spirit wasn't really active in terms of the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the fruits of the Spirit, but the gifts weren't really active. So I think I had this natural propensity of like anti-healing, anti-prophecy, anti-tongues, like kind of anti-like power gifts that we see listed in Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I remember when I was in college, going to my senior year, I was doing my internship in the red light district of Amsterdam in a Christian youth hostel. So imagine it's a very interesting place to do your internship. And I was sitting at the front desk, because I was in the night shift. I was talking with this guy who was like a super charismatic guy. And we were like arguing about tongues. I don't argue anymore about anything Bible or theology, but I used to. And I was taking Greek, so I was talking about the Greek and everything. And then the conversation ended like this. He said, when we're done tonight, just go up to, I was sleeping up at the top of the hostel. He said, go up there. And he said, go speak in tongues. And I was like, whatever, dude. So I went up there that night and I got on my knees and I was like, okay, God, here I am. And then all of a sudden, I started singing in a language I did not know. And it went on for about 10 seconds and then it stopped. And I thought, oh, okay, I guess tongues is real. And the reason it convinced me is because I had heard about singing in tongues. I'd heard about it. So when I did it, I was like, okay, it's legit. And I became a believer that tongues was a real, legitimate gift that's obviously in Scripture. But it wasn't until about almost 10 years later that I began to explore it more, like really try and activate the gift and see what the Holy Spirit wanted to do with that in my life. So for me, it took convincing through like an actual encounter to say, oh, this is legit. Some people actually just believe God's word and like, oh, it's real. It took me a little bit farther of a step. So let's look at verses 1 through 5 together, or here in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. So it says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, or the spiritual gifts, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, or simply it's languages, you will be able, and talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks in a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more I wish you all could prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you're saying so the whole church can be strengthened. So here's what Paul pretty much is saying. He says, spiritual gifts are cool, but love is the best. He says, above all things, spiritual gifts are going to bring the power of God in and through your life, but love is the foundation, and love is from all spiritual gifts flow. So he took a whole chapter in the Bible when they made up these chapters, but broke up chapter 13, if you read that, talks about what is love. And he says, you got to get love worked out in your heart and your life before you begin to build all these power gifts on your life, because God wants everything to flow from a state of love in your life. So if you notice this, Paul is comparing tongues and prophecy. And when you hear tongues, the Greek is just simply also languages. So I'd say just other languages. And when you continue to read, it talks about two languages. There's human languages and then there's angelic languages. So human languages and angelic languages. So it's comparing tongues and prophecy, and here's what they are. Prophecy builds others up. Prophecy builds others up, and tongues, or praying in the Spirit, builds you up. So prophecy builds others up, and tongues builds you up. So they're both for building up the body of Jesus. So tongues is directly talking to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's two types of tongues. You have personal tongues, which like a personal prayer language you have. And then there's a corporate tongues where it would be practiced in a corporate church setting like this. So there's two types of tongues. There's a personal spiritual language that you receive from the Holy Spirit. And then there's a corporate prayer language that somebody would speak in tongues and then there would be an interpreter. So when you pray in tongues, you pray or speak with your spirit. Now, how many of you have ever thought about that before? You could pray or speak with your spirit. Because remember, we're a three-part person. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Because remember, after God created Adam out of the ground, out of the dust, right? What did God do? He breathed his breath into Adam. He breathed his spirit into Adam. So every living person has a spirit within them. And it's your spirit that begins to speak or pray. So if you think about, you can speak and pray with your spirit. You can speak and pray with your mind. How many of y'all are pretty sharp here? Like, you're intelligent people. Some people are waving back and forth. All right, you're all pretty smart, right? So you could articulate with your mind a song. We did that earlier. You sang with your mind. But you can also sing with your spirit, like my story, which that totally convinced me, right? So you could sing with your spirit, you could sing with your mind, you could talk with your spirit, and you could talk with your mind. So when you pray in your spirit or you talk with your spirit in the gift of tongues, it bypasses your mind. So when you pray in the spirit, it actually bypasses your mind. And you could Google this on YouTube. They've actually done like real medical research. They hook people up to all these different wires and different things like that. And they look at a person's brain when they're speaking in tongues, and it actually deactivates the front part of their brain that you use for speaking. And that actually deactivates because they're not using the front part of their brain to speak. They're actually using their spirit. Let me tell you this too. Tongues, speaking in tongues or praying in the spirit, is offensive to religion. So it's offensive to religion. Religion hates speaking in tongues. It hates praying in the spirit. That's one of the things that it's offensive to. I'm taking some advanced spiritual warfare training, and one of the things that was mentioned is so interesting. So y'all know that, like, there's the Church of Jesus, right? Us. And then there's also the Church of Satan. That started in San Francisco in the U.S. They have one in South Africa and other places. Do you know Satanists are only concerned with one type of church? It's a church that prays in the spirit, and it's a church that believes in the Bible. Otherwise, Satanists don't really care, because the power, when you pray in the power of the spirit, you have the power of God working in your life, and you believe what the Bible says. So you have to think, when I say that, if a religion is offended by speaking in tongues and Satanists are concerned about that, when you believe in the Bible, what does that say about praying in the spirit? What does that say about praying in tongues? So tongues is the Holy Spirit empowering you and praying through your spirit. So Paul wants everyone to speak in tongues, and even more, he wants everyone to prophesy. So here's the goal of everything, is that everyone gets built up. So the goal of tongues and the goal of prophecy is that people are built up. So let's look at verses 6 through 9. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language or tongue, how would that help you? But if I bring to you a revelation or some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. Even lifeless instruments like the flute or harp must play the notes clearly, or no one will recognize the melody. And if someone who plays the bugle doesn't sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they're being called into battle?" It's the same for you. If you speak to people in words they don't understand, how will they know what you're saying? You might as well be talking into an empty space. So basically what Paul is saying is that words you can understand are helpful. Words that you understand are helpful. But if you're hearing gibberish, you're kind of like, what is the point of what I'm hearing? It doesn't do anything to build you up. It doesn't strengthen you in any way. I have kind of a funny example of this. Before we started in Rich, we were doing a lot of training. We would go out once a month to different places in LA. And Cassie came quite a few of these. We would go out to LA in different places, and we just go do street evangelism. And one time we were in Hollywood, and I was talking to this guy. He's actually a Filipino guy. And yeah, you over there, JR. And Andrew. Yeah. He had no idea what I was saying in English. So I was like, you know, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, they started speaking in tongues, and the other people understood him. So I just started speaking in tongues to the guy. And he was like, this is what he said in his own words. He's like, "Are you speaking Muslim?" So he thought it was like Arabic or something like that, or Farsi. But he had no idea what I was saying. So I was like, oh, I gave it a shot. So at least I shot. But he still had no idea what I was saying. We couldn't communicate in any language. So the goal is that words bring life and kingdom purpose. So tongues has power with a purpose. And prophecy has power with a purpose. I'm going to give you a really cool example of how this actually plays out in real life, besides the Hollywood one, which didn't really go, you know, how it was supposed to. So when we lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan, after we got married, that's where we met Anthony and Brianna. I worked at a CRC, a Christian Reform college, and we went to a Christian Reform church, the CRC. They're not necessarily known for the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit, more towards like religion. But the church that we went to believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I was at this gathering. It wasn't a Sunday morning gathering, it was a different gathering, but there were like 25 or 30 people there. And someone said to the lead pastor, "Hey, I have a message in tongues." And I thought to myself, this is going to be interesting. I've never seen this. So the pastor knew that a person there also had the gift of interpretation. So the pastor said, "You have a message in tongues. We have someone who can interpret a message of tongues. So we'll proceed according to scripture." So the guy stood up and he spoke in a language. I didn't know what he was saying. And I thought that was interesting. That was the first time I'd ever heard it like that. And then the woman stood up and she gave an interpretation of what he had said in tongues. And the message that was presented right after was the exact same as the interpretation. It was crazy. I was like, okay, this totally legitimized corporate speaking in tongues. Because you know what happened when he spoke in tongues and the interpretation was given? The body was built up. That's exactly what happens here, is that the body of Jesus is built up when you do corporate tongues. My faith was inspired. I was like, there's no way that the tongues message that was interpreted in English can be the same message that was already prepared, written by someone. I was like, that was so cool. So tongues has power with a purpose. So let's look at verses 10 through 17. It says, "There are many different languages in the world, and every language has meaning. But if I don't understand a language, I will speak to a foreigner, to someone who speaks it, and the one who speaks it will no longer be a foreigner to me. And the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities, or spiritual gifts, the Spirit gives, seek those that strengthen the whole church. So anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray also for the ability to interpret what is being said. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well then, what should I do? I will pray in the spirit, and I also pray in words that I understand, or pray with my mind. I will sing in the spirit, and I also sing in words that I can understand. I'll sing with my mind. For if you praise God only in the spirit, how can those who don't understand you praise God with you? How can they join you in giving thanks when they don't understand what you're saying? You'll be giving thanks very well, but it won't strengthen the people who hear you." So the goal of tongues is to build you up, and when it's interpreted, to build up the body of Jesus. So when you pray and you have the gift of tongues, whether you have it or somebody else has it, you want to pray for the gift of interpretation, the ability to interpret so that others can be built up. And notice it doesn't say translate, it says interpret. So you're not translating word for word what tongues is being said, you're interpreting. So George here is an interpreter for Spanish, because when you interpret, you're also taking culture into account. If there's different cultures that are hearing each other in different languages, you're using a lens for the other person to understand. In the same way, when you're interpreting tongues, it's not going to be straight word for word. It's going to be interpretation of what is being said. And so do you know that notice that it said you pray with your spirit, but it's apart from your mind. It says when you pray in your spirit, also pray with your mind. I had referenced earlier about kind of the medical stuff they did to look at this medically. You can write this down if you want to Google it. You can Google ABC News, ABC News, medical speaking in tongues. So back in the 90s, I guess when they talked about like Jesus on TV, like ABC News, a mainstream news network, actually did a full-on news story on Christians speaking in tongues. Yeah, it was really cool. So if you just Google ABC News speaking in tongues or medical speaking in tongues, you can find it. It's the people are dressed like they're from the 90s too. Like, but it's pretty cool. It's so convincing because they have the medical stuff right there with these medical doctors talking about it. And then you find another one, and they do a deeper dive into people's stories of like how they came to speak in it. And they have all types of different like university professors who think it's like just like this spiritual phenomena. It's not real. And so you get all these different perspectives. It's really interesting on how these people are interpreting it. Did you notice what the scripture said? It said you could pray in your spirit, and then you could sing in your spirit. So there's prayers and there's songs. You pray and you sing. So I'll share how it works for me when I pray in the Spirit. So I share my story in the beginning, how I came to encounter it. And then for me, like 10 years later, I really began to try and pursue it more. So when I first started praying in tongues, I was probably just making it up. I was trying to get it activated. Now, how many of you are good at basketball here? JR, one person. How many of y'all are good at baseball? Football? There's one guy. Oh, yeah, Ethan over here. How many of you are good at a musical instrument?
Yeah.
How many can build stuff with your hands? All right, so everyone raise your hand at some point. When you first started off with those things, like, were you good at it? I mean, some of you might have been. But, like, the idea is, like, you learn from scratch, right? You learn the basics, and then you grow into the advanced pieces of it. So in the same way with any other spiritual gift, like if you have the spiritual gift of leadership, or if you have the spiritual gift of healing, or the spiritual gift of administration, you start off from scratch. Like, you get the gift, and then you build into it. It doesn't just, like, all of a sudden pop up, and it's a huge, mature gift up front. In the same way it is with the spiritual gift of tongues. It starts off from scratch, and then you build into it over time. So when I first started, I was just trying to figure it out. Some people say it kind of sounds like a baby talking. It kind of sounds like gibberish. But there was a point for me when I was just practicing the gift, because it says practice the spiritual gifts. That's all of them, right? I started, and then there was this switch. It was like a switch flipped, and I felt, whoa, my spirit took over. There was something inside of me that changed. It was the Holy Spirit praying through me. So for me, like when I pray in the Spirit, a lot of the times now I understand what I'm praying, because I've prayed for the gift of interpretation, and I practice it a lot. There's sometimes, like last night, when we often pray, like worship for a half hour and pray in the Spirit for an hour for everyone by name and for over our church gathering and everything. There was a period of time I had no idea what I was praying about, but I felt like I was really hitting something spiritually. But God didn't show me what it was. And then as I continued to pray, I was like, oh, I know what I'm praying about now. It became clear. So what I do is I pray in English in my mind, and then right behind it, I pray in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying, the Holy Spirit is praying through you. So you're actually praying God's will rather than your own. So I'll choose a topic, I pray in English in my mind, and I pray in the Spirit right behind it. And there's times when we're in worship at home, and man, the Spirit of God just takes over, and I start praying in an unknown language, or singing an unknown language. And it's pretty cool, because I'm singing and I'm like, I don't really know what I'm saying, but I'm definitely worshiping. There's a shift in my spirit that's taking place. So if you hear what the goal of all this is that praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues builds you up, and then praying in the Spirit corporately and having an interpretation builds others up, and then prophecy builds others up. So here's what praying in the Spirit does. Okay, cool, that Jared, it's in the Bible, you're making me more of a believer now, but what does it actually do? One of the biggest things is that Paul says that it builds you up, right? So it strengthens you internally in your spirit. Now, how many of you like work out pretty consistently? You're an athlete, or you will lift weights, or your job, you just work out. Anybody do that? As you see their arms go up, and you see the biceps just start like ripping out of their shirts? Yeah, Selah over here. That's right. Yeah. In the same way, when you pray in the Spirit, you're building muscles in your spirit. So when you pray in the Spirit, it's like you're going to the gym spiritually, and you're building yourself spiritually strong. Because remember, you're a spirit with a soul inside of a body. God created you as a spirit being that has a soul, which is your mind, your emotions, and your will, and you're inside of a body. So when you pray in the Spirit, you're actually growing in spiritual strength inside of you. When you pray in the Spirit, you're speaking directly to God by the Holy Spirit. So you're speaking directly to God by the Holy Spirit. So this is when the Spirit of God prays through you or speaks through you directly to God, and it's the will of God being prayed through you. Praying in the Spirit strengthens your connection and relationship with the Holy Spirit. So remember, we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, we have a relationship with Jesus, and we also have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So the way to strengthen your relationship with the Holy Spirit is to pray in the Spirit. So pray in tongues, and the Spirit of God strengthens your connection with the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you pray God's will versus your own will. Now, how many of you trust your own will when you pray it? You're like, is this what I'm supposed to be praying? Like, me, not a lot. If I'm praying scripture, yeah. But if I'm praying for something, am I praying with right motives? But when you pray by the Holy Spirit, you're praying with God's motives for that person or situation. Brianna gave a perfect example earlier. When your kids are not behaving as you'd want them to, you're like, I don't know how to pray. I don't want to pray anything that maybe isn't from the right heart motive, right? Pray in the Spirit for your kids, because then you know that the Holy Spirit is praying through you over that situation. Praying in the Spirit gives revelation. So revelation is simply when the Holy Spirit reveals to you information that you didn't know prior. So a couple of us went out last month to the seed sowing at the farmer's market for evangelism. When I prayed for the first two guys I prayed for, both of them were like, how did you know that about me? It's because the Holy Spirit revealed information about them to me that otherwise I wouldn't have known. But you know what I did all the way there, and I had done quite a while before we even got there on site? I was praying in the Spirit over our time. So when my feet hit the ground for outreach, everything was already in place. I literally just had to be obedient because it was already lined up by the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit helps you with spiritual warfare. Now, how many of you go through some spiritual warfare once in a while? Like, everyone probably raised their hand, right? Because Satan hates you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy from your life. That is his main goal, is to destroy your life. But Jesus says he comes to give you life and life to the fullest. So when you're going at it with spiritual warfare, you know what I want to do? I want to bring my best weapons to the forefront. And praying in the Spirit is one of the best, if not the best weapon that you could bring, apart from praying scripture out loud in the language that you can understand in it. And one other thing, I mean, I can go on and on and on about these, but these are some top ones that I've encountered. Praying in the Spirit arranges divine appointments. So praying in the Spirit will arrange divine appointments. If you're like, man, I'm trying to share Jesus with people, but I'm not having these like connections with people, pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will arrange those connections. We were at the Azusa Golden Days yesterday. It's kind of like a city party that the community Rex puts on, the Parks and Rec office. And we had a table for like the churches in Azusa. It was super last minute, so we didn't invite anyone. It was like 3 days before. But we had our booth there, and guess how many people were coming by our booth? Zero. Nobody was stopping by. So you know what I started doing? I just started praying in the Spirit the whole time. And what's cool about the name of SoCal, there are so many different languages that are spoken. If you're praying in tongues out loud, no one knows anyways what half the people are saying around here, because there's so many languages spoken. So I just walk around praying in tongues, and people think I'm speaking, I don't know, Arabic or something like that, right? So I start praying in the Spirit out loud, and then guess what happens? There's a switch, and we had like 30 people come by our table in the last hour that I was there. I told Meredith, because she was hanging out for the first half, and then the kids and her went and watched some cool performances they had, and we didn't really have anyone come by. And I was like, dude, we had like 30 people come by at the end. She's like, what? And I was like, yeah, I just pray in the Spirit the whole time, and then they just started coming to the table. So when you pray in the Spirit, God will begin to arrange divine appointments in your life, because the angels of God are responding to God praying through you and arranging his will in your life. So I talked about how I came to go from a hater and unbeliever in the gift of tongues by having that experience, that encounter. And then I actually started believing what the Bible said about it, when it should have been the other way around, right? I should have believed what the Bible said and then had that. And then it was just a journey for me. But this is the main thing how my journey changed, is I became intentional. I had to take responsibility and ownership to actually pursue the gift. And that's what Paul said if we read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 there. He says, pursue all the spiritual gifts. Make love your highest aim, and prophecy the main one you do, but pursue all the gifts. So I actually had to pursue the gift. Then I got by myself because I didn't want to sound funny in front of everyone, and I just started trying to pray in the Spirit. At first, I honestly was probably making it up, and it sounded funny. But then, as I kept being persistent, the Holy Spirit, there's this switch, and the Spirit of God took over in my spirit. And when you have the ability to pray in tongues or pray in the Spirit, you can activate it at any point. You can activate it at any point, just like any of the spiritual gifts that you have. So here's what I did. I literally set a timer. I was like, I'm going to pray 5 minutes a day. I literally would set a timer, press start, and I would just practice. And then it grew. I did 10 minutes, and then 20 minutes, and then 30. And now for me, I do 60 minutes every morning. I get up early, and I pray in the Spirit for 60 minutes. And then on Fridays, I get up early. And this is all outside of my work hours, by the way. I pray for 4 hours straight, and just in the Spirit. And I'll tell you, when you first start building this muscle, oh my gosh, I was so tired physically. Like, it is like a workout physically, because your body's, you're like talking for hours straight. But now, I'm like, oh yeah, I can pray for 4 hours straight. The Holy Spirit has strengthened me to be able to do it. And you guys hear the stories that I share, all this crazy stuff that God does. I think it's because I just pray in the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit does what He wants to do. Praying in the Spirit for me is an act of dependence. It shows God, I am completely dependent on You, because I don't know what I'm praying most of the time, half the time or whatever, and I'm maybe sounding funny, but I'm showing God that I cannot do this apart from You. So praying in the Spirit is an act of dependence. It's an act of humility. And remember, it'll offend your mind. If you're an intellectual or if you're a religious person, it'll offend your mind because it bypasses your mind. But if you're willing to surrender to Jesus and say, I give You every area of my life, and here's what it is. If you're like, Jared, what's the point of all this? Praying in the Spirit gives you a deeper relationship with Jesus. That's what it comes down to. You have a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus, and you know Him more. And then for me, I just pray in the Spirit as I go. Like, as I'm driving in the car, I'm praying in the Spirit. As I'm walking, I'm praying in the Spirit. Because it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, right? So, I'll just do it. I'll be obedient to Word and pray all the time. There are seasons of rest for me. I'm not always doing it. But I'll sometimes just drive in silence. I'm just being led by God's Spirit. Now, how many of you, after reading the scriptures, hearing some of the stories from my life, and hearing from each other, how many of you all want more of Jesus by the ability to pray in the Spirit? Right? And if you're like, yeah, I want more of that. Here's the thing, is it's the Holy Spirit who gives you the grace to do it. The Holy Spirit does it. It has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with anything I could do for you or anyone else can do for you. It's between you and Jesus. And what we found in reading scripture and talking with people, it all comes down to surrender. Like, if you're willing to surrender yourself, every area of your life, if you're willing to surrender, like, feeling stupid, like when you're praying, you're like, I don't know what the heck I'm praying, I sound dumb. If you're willing to surrender all those things to Jesus, surrender your heart to Him and say, you can have everything. I just want more of You. Give me Your Spirit. Because how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Right? So if you ask, Jesus is a good God. He's not going to give you a snake or a scorpion or a rock, right? He's going to give you the fresh bread of heaven. So if you want the grace and the ability to pray in the Spirit, it comes to surrender and it comes to asking. And then you got to take action by faith to start praying in the Spirit and trying to figure it out. So if you're like, all right, I'm going to try it today, just do it when you're driving by yourself. Or if you're like, you're driving with someone, you're like, I'm going to try this, or like, go find a place where it's just you and God and practice. And eventually the Holy Spirit will flip a switch and it'll radically change your life as it did mine. So let's take a few minutes. Take a few minutes to say, okay, Jesus, I'm open. I read Your Word. I heard some of these stories. I just want more of You in my life. And if that's praying in the Spirit, I want it. And is there anything in my heart, in my life, I need to surrender to You that's a block that would keep the water, the Spirit of God, from flowing through my heart? So take a few minutes just to ask Jesus, anything I need to surrender, and then ask Him to give you the grace of praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, so that you can have a deeper, intimate relationship with Him and live more empowered for His kingdom and for the gospel. After you've taken some time to surrender and ask for more of Jesus in your life by the Holy Spirit, I want you to determine for you, what's the next step you're going to take? How are you going to be obedient to Jesus based upon the scriptures that you read today? So go ahead and write that down and share that with the person next to you. How are you going to obey Jesus this week based upon the scriptures that you studied today and that God is leading you to? So how will you obey? Write that down and then share that with the person next to you. All right, after you write down how you're going to obey Jesus this week, who's the one person you're going to share with this week about what you learned? So write down that person's name about who you're going to share with what you learned. And you can be like, hey, I went to this church for the first time, or I came back second, and they were kind of crazy. They talk about the Bible and what the Bible says about praying in the Spirit. So who are you going to share with this week about what you learned today from the scriptures? Write down that person's name and then share that with the person next to you. And then the last question I want you to answer is, who are you going to start a Discovery Bible study with? So this is that really simple Bible study that you can do with anyone. And the idea is you could do this with people who don't know Jesus in your life that are open to God. Or you can do it with your roommates, your family, your friends. But who can you start a Discovery Bible study with? So write down that person's name and share that with the person next to you.
Cool. Let's pray. Yeah, Jesus, we thank You that You're good. You're a giver of good gifts. And we thank You that You are beyond our understanding. You're bigger than we are. And Lord, I just pray for a grace this week for everybody here to ask for the gift of tongues, to be curious about the gift of tongues, to grow in the gift of tongues, and to receive it. Lord, just as they're on their own this week in their car or at home or wherever they are, that they would step out in faith, like Brianna and Jared talked about, and just explore with you an experience of your word and what it means to obey and what it means to speak in tongues in this way. So bless each and everyone here. Yeah, with just a greater experience of your Holy Spirit and of your presence in that way. And Lord, we thank you for the food. We thank you that we can just gather as a family, Lord, that you as a father have made us a family, that we can gather around food and just fellowship and enjoy each other. So we pray that you would bless this food, bless it to our bodies, let it make us healthy and strong, and just bless our fellowship and our time together in Jesus' name. So I'll encourage you guys this week as you go out, find some space alone by yourself. When I first received the gift of tongues, it was like one syllable over and over again, and it was super, you know, like Brianna said, awkward and whatever. But I just, in my time with the Lord, like Jared was saying, I just spent a little time every day practicing it, and it grew and developed over time. So I encourage you to take that risk, step out in faith, and just explore that with the Lord this week. So, yeah.